I've seen so many times where people just convince themselves of something and then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy one way or another, whether it's reality or not. And so I think that that honesty is really key, and moving quickly. Like, I think a startup, you just don't have time. Like, if there's even a whiff of kind of a definitive outcome, then we move on. Like, we use that as the next step. And I think sometimes that leads to mistakes, but I'd rather make a quick mistake than move really slowly and in an extended way. Because if I make a quick mistake, we can adjust quickly. But if something's extended and protracted, then it becomes too difficult or too even problematic down the road.
Welcome to the Men of the Hour podcast. I'm your host, Justin Crawford, and for the last few years, this podcast has been aiming to drive positive social impact to our listeners' lives with the lessons and stories learned from today's most influential men. My guests have brought up every topic in the book, from health and wellness to personal struggles and career successes. But no matter what the topic is, I want you to leave this podcast feeling inspired to get out there and create the life worth living for yourself, starting with the one you're listening to right now. Thanks for being here when you could have chose any other podcast out there. Now here's today's episode. You're tuning into a special edition of the Men of the Hour podcast, and that's Founders Week. Every other season on this podcast, I invite a handful of founders to join me in a conversation about entrepreneurship, building a brand, and the best lessons learned while doing what they love. You're in for a treat this week as I've got some of my friends from the greatest Better For You brands out there, and that includes Roan, Hubi, Better & Better, Meter, Supergut, and The Athletic Brewing Company. Thanks for tuning in today, wherever you're listening. Now sit back and get ready to learn something new.
You guys know the deal. We're in the middle of Founders Week, and right now I have Vladimir from Better & Better on the show, and I can't wait to tell you more about him. You probably already heard a bunch about him, but Vladimir, thank you for coming on the podcast, number one. Number two, we have to understand what Better & Better is doing for society, because I hear Better & Better and I saw it on Instagram with my friends doing social posts with you guys. And who would even think to infuse toothpaste with things that can better our lives? And that's what you guys are doing. And plus some, right? The business is probably doing more than that. Sure. But we'll get into all of it, my friend. But thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be on. It's a great podcast.
Thanks, man. So let's start at the very beginning. I think that like the point of Founders Week is to get your story, but more importantly, find out how Better & Better really like is on the rise to what you guys are continuing to do and why you discovered the company, which we'll talk about Mary in a moment, obviously, because this is your second business together. But where did it all start for you? What's your background? And then ultimately, like, how did you get into wanting to do a business like this?
Sure. So yeah, I at this point, I would consider myself a serial entrepreneur. So Better & Better is my third company. I've been doing this crazy thing of starting companies, growing them for the last 10 plus years. But I think it really starts with who I am and where I come from. So I was born in Serbia. I moved to the United States when I was 6 years old. So kind of typical immigrant story, but my kind of reason for coming is a little bit different. So when I was 6 years old, I was diagnosed with cancer as a kid in Serbia. And so that was in the early 90s. The medical facilities there weren't great. And my parents said, you know, to save our kid, we have to move to the US. And so I came to New York initially for treatment for my bone cancer. And so that's you know, the idea of health and wellness and the idea of like fighting for your life have been very much ingrained in who I am since the earliest memories that I have. And also that's kind of how I think of the United States. I think of it as the place that keeps you alive and gives you these opportunities for building and creating new and interesting things. So I grew up in New York City. I went to NYU, studied economics, did a little corporate life for a little while. Then I realized I have to create, I have to make things. And so I started my first company when I was 25. It was a company called Rocket Hub. So it was a crowdfunding platform. We were helping actually other entrepreneurs raise money, kind of similar to Kickstarter, Indiegogo. That went really well. We grew it from a napkin idea to an acquisition in about 3 years. kind of riding the crowdfunding wave of 5-10 years ago. Then I started my second company, which was a company called Mural, which was kind of in the art and technology space. We were making a digital art frame to bring art and photography into people's lives. That was really incredible. We grew it from a napkin idea through an acquisition in about 4 years. And then after I had these two startup experiences under my belt, I was like, I want to do something more personal. I want to build something that is more relevant to kind of my childhood, to where I came from. And that's really where Better and Better came about. It came from this like personal need and desire to bring health and wellness, to bring new ideas to our daily habits to life. And so I felt like finally I had enough experience to do that. And so that's where the Better and Better idea came about.
Hell yeah. I mean, talk about a founder story. I don't even think to myself, okay, well, it's one thing to start one business. It's another thing to start three. And then to do so now, I mean, as personal as it is to your life, to now be incorporated into people's daily habits, like brushing your teeth, which is, again, we find 700 toothpastes in the Target aisle. And you don't think that, you know, you don't think about what it's doing for you, essentially, too. I mean, to back it up here a moment, too, when you thought about your first two businesses and how you wanted to kind of drive impact, was that also a thought? Because now you're like super deep in the health and wellness space. But more importantly, like the first two businesses sounded like they were trying to assist other people. Was that pretty much like a strategy of yours?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of my businesses also come from like where I am in life. So, you know, when I was in 2010, when we started Rocket Hub, that was still a period of like deep kind of recession. It was entrepreneurial funding wasn't even nearly what it is today in terms of venture capital and angel investors and all that. So the idea of crowdfunding in many ways was a very natural kind of trend that emerged out of that environment. I try to listen to the world and kind of incorporate what I'm hearing. And I think that, you know, particularly for 2010 period, 2009, 2010, crowdfunding was the thing that was going to get entrepreneurs from point zero to point one, right? From zero to one. And so that's where that came about. For Mural, I think it actually came from Rocket Hub. So at Rocket Hub, we were helping artists, entrepreneurs, scientists, but I saw that visual artists, painters, photographers were still kind of stuck in the past. And so Mural was meant to be that, you know, kind of the iPod of digital art, a beautiful art piece of hardware that connects to a marketplace, that connects to a licensing structure that can actually help artists when they're going to the world and trying to reach their customers. So it kind of, everything flows from one thing to another. It's never forced, or it's never kind of like, oh, I'm going to do this now. It's just like, oh, I see this trend. It's coming about, and it pushes me over and over again. And so for Better and Better, it's like that, but more personal. Because, you know, because of my medical history, I've had to take a fistful of like vitamins, nutrients, supplements most of my life. And I really hate it. I forget. You know, it hurts my stomach when you take a bunch of pills. And so really, it came from this question of like, how can we do this better? How can we integrate vitamins, supplements, nutrients into existing daily habits? And so the idea of sublingual absorption, using your mouth to absorb these vitamins while you're doing something else, like brushing your teeth, really came about from this like personal, in many ways, my personal desire to remove the idea of pills from my life.
What have been some of those top benefits for you then? Because this is the first time I've heard it. If you're tuning in, you're probably in the same boat. This is the first time I heard about like the founder flow, I guess you can call it, right? Where you're meeting the times where they're at and starting to solve problems as you go, building businesses essentially to do that. I don't think I've heard it before. And I'm very proud that this is where we're hearing it, because at the end of the day, like most businesses are a bunch of, you know, random things that we're seeing people collect money for and launch. And at the end of the day, I look at companies and I'm like, what problem is that solving? Or why is that in existence right now? And so for you, what have been like the top benefits to be a company that's really meeting the times where they're at?
Well, I think it's funny, like for most of my companies, all of them really, all three, I constantly get people come to me and say, well, I had this idea. You're making my idea into reality. It's like a really good song. Like the first time you hear a really good song, you feel like you've heard it before.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of how I come about with companies and ideas for companies is like, you know, when people hear about the companies that we've started, that I've started, mm-hmm. they're like, oh, I've heard this song before. But they haven't, it hasn't really existed before. So I think there's something about, the timing being right, meeting my personal drive and my personal passion and the resources that I can gather that like, if that intersects at the right moment, it can create something really, really special.
Mm. And then for everybody who's tuning in now, who wants to maybe start a business and, or like myself, who hate business in the sense that it is such a serious thing mm-hmm. because it's so personal to you. Have you found that maybe having a personal tie to your business or really understanding like the impact it has to society or human, you know, like the human experience that then pulls some of that negativity out of it? Cause think about it, everybody's stressed when it comes to business. No one wants to talk yeah. about money. No one wants to invoice their clients. No one wants to, it's all this like crazy, like, you know what I mean? Like it's such a serious thing. And I feel like for you, because it's so personal, there had to have been some level of like, you know, you're able to kind of sit with that in a nice peace of mind way. No.
Yeah. I mean, I've had to work at it. So my first company, Rocket Hub, I was 25 years old, so just coming out of, you know, college and my first job. And that was very, very, very stressful. You know, I was biting my nails. I was, you know, it had all kinds of, I started getting kidney stones, like stress related stuff like that. Wow. My ego and my being was very much intertwined with my first company. And that was really, really challenging because like when something bad happened, I felt it in my body. It was very, very kind of detrimental to my physical well-being. For Mural, my second company, I still had some of that, but mm-hmm. I had kind of had the muscle memory and the ability to slowly kind of separate a little bit, but not fully. I don't think you're ever able to be fully kind of zen about it. Mm-hmm. It just, you have a little bit more experience. I had a little bit more miles under my belt in terms of knowing where the pitfalls might be.
Sure.
And now with Better and Better, I think because it's so personal, it's taken like I've leveled up. It's to the next level in terms of importance. But I think my level of maturity and experience, you know, being in my mid to late 30s now, it's like it's a little less serious. It's a little less life or death. It's more like, how do we optimize? How do we make this result the best possible for our customers, for our vendors, for our suppliers? While still realizing that this is all just, you know, it's a game in some ways. It's not like
we're going down that rabbit hole here yeah. in just a second. But before we do that, you say life or death. What about it at 25 was life and death compared to now where it's more of, you know, like you had said, like a game. Actually, we have to say it. It's a game because I have so many questions. But what about it yeah. when you were 25 launching your first business was, you know, a life or death, because I'm speaking to the young founders. I'm 26 yeah. and you think about anybody who is launching anything today, it is life or death to them. And those sure. kidney stones for people for, you know, if you're stressed about your,
they hurt like death.
They hurt like death. Okay. So like life or death back then, compare it to like how you feel about business now, but why was it life or death then?
Well, first of all, I had zero money. So I think that's the nature of like the beast in many ways. Your first company is guerrilla warfare. It's like you're in the trenches trying to get one step forward. And yeah. I think that wears on you, like, you know, eating ramen and you know, ketchup every day is
wait,
is
like not, ketchup in the ramen
or next to the ramen. It's the vegetable with the ramen.
Oh my God. I hear
yeah.
you.
And you can get it for free, right? You could get those little packets at different restaurants. Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, same thing, like over and over and over again. I think the stakes are higher because, you know, in some ways the stakes are higher when it comes to money, when it comes to, you know, I come from an immigrant family. We didn't have much. So whatever, you know, what was created or was taken was a very high risk endeavor. So I think there's that. And I think also there's, you know, youth too, because it's the, anything that you experience the first time, I feel like is much more visceral and much more stressful and anxiety inducing than once you, same thing, like when you're a sports or an athlete, like once you've done it 1,000 times, 10,000 times, the stress is there, but it's not this like just crazy thing. It's something a little bit more manageable and a little bit more tolerable. So I think the first time is always the most really kind of body changing.
This Founders Week special is proudly brought to you by my friends at Better and Better. This premium and natural, vegan, and eco-friendly oral care brand is taking our smiles and our planet on a remarkable journey with their mission, story, and of course, amazing products. Let me tell you, we all have something in common, and that's brushing our teeth. What we may not know, though, is that there's a new way to enhance that experience with Better and Better. I'll be honest, I didn't think there would ever be a toothpaste that could add so much value to our lives, but there is, and that was the entire vision for the founder and creator, Vladimir, who's also joining us on Founders Week. Healthy living takes effort, and change is hard, but existing habits are extremely powerful. And this is where the wellness brand Better and Better comes in. They have embedded better health and wellness into our already existing habits and routines. How easy is that? Now, you may be asking yourself, how the heck did they do this? And it's backed by science 2-in-1 all-natural vegan toothpaste. Better and Better's toothpaste is formulated to the strictest clean ingredient standards with safe, gentle, vegan, natural, and organic ingredients that you'll recognize. By simply brushing your teeth, something that we already are in the habit of doing at least twice a day for at least 2 minutes, you can enhance that experience with Better and Better's energy toothpaste, where you'll get a microdose of vitamins, specifically vitamins B12 and D3, which are actually two of the most necessary and lacking vitamins for most people. When I first tried Better and Better, it was because my friend Trevor in New York City was showcasing them on Instagram around the same time I was looking for a functional product to add to my morning routine, and what better to add than new toothpaste? After weeks of using this toothpaste, I was already seeing that I was no longer taking B12 and vitamin D pills as opposed to just brushing my teeth in the morning, again, something we already do. What was so cool is that by simply brushing your teeth normally, the dose of vitamins were delivered through your tongue, gums, and cheeks, and simply absorbed into your mouth, which is actually more efficient than doing it with your gut with those pills. And there you have it, no more swallowing of pills, no new habits to create, and no extra costs. Right now, I want you guys to try Better and Better's vitamin-infused toothpaste and any of their oral products online and save with this exclusive offer on this Founders Week right now. Just use the code MENOFTHEHOUR20 at checkout for 20% off your first order. And all you have to do is visit betterandbetter.com to learn more about the science behind their toothpaste, their super clean ingredients, and shop. Don't forget, you can save 20% off your first order at betterandbetter.com with code MENOFTHEHOUR20 at checkout.
Mm-hmm. No, and I'm glad we're talking about this. And you say tolerable. I thought of the word comfortable because I like literally wrote down here. I'm like, the more you do, the more you get comfortable doing.
That's right. Yeah.
But then like, what were you getting rid of in order to not go back to that life or death pattern, for instance? Say you go into your second and third business and you're like, okay, well, I ain't doing that shit again. What were some of those things you were like, okay, as a founder, I'm not doing this again. That was very stressful. Here's how I'm going to like learn and grow from it, as opposed to just, because think about it, like people go into their 10th business, Vlad, and sometimes are like running through the same motions and stressing themselves out even more. And I'm like, you've done this 10 effing times. Are you kidding me? It's kind of like walking into a door 10 times. We don't want to do that. Like, what the hell? That's not the point of business, right?
Right. I think there's a couple of things. One is just little habits and little routines. So like not keeping your phone next to your head all the time. Like the, just little stuff like that, like keeping technology out of where you sleep. I think that that was a big step for me. Like, okay, I'm not going to check my email at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m., you know, that the, like, cause the body gets used to that stress inducing moment over and over again. So I think that, just removing those moments of extreme stress or extreme, reaction, I think helped. And then the second part is team. I learned a lot about the power of having a really strong, powerful team around you so that you never feel like, or at least I never feel like I am the only one in this. I have a team of 2-3 co-founders, 4 co-founders, depending on the company, that helps to alleviate some of that pressure, because we're all equal. We're all peers. That means all of us can experience this without being the only person who's, you know, carrying the big rock on their back. So I think team plus little habits has really helped me in terms of kind of alleviating some of that pain.
Mm. And then from the top level too, I mean, you think of co-founders as a team, but then what kind of people have you found yourself hiring into these three businesses? For instance, like if you're going to hire an intern tomorrow for Better and Better, who is that perfect candidate? Not first, me pitching your company in the middle of this. It's like, hey, send your resume this way, but, you know, like DM us your resume. No, but really I'm curious right. because if at a top level, you have four co-founders that you right. give 25% to, not like money wise, but just in general, yeah. you're giving that much responsibility and trust and love into, I can only imagine the intern that gets hired for your company and how they're going to work for you.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting because it's so easy to be like, oh, we're the founders and you're the employees or the team members. And I think that's, you can't do it like that. A startup is so hard top to bottom. It's not just hard for the founders. It's not just hard for the executives. It's hard for everyone because the territory just keeps changing all the time. You know, things are different Monday from Tuesday to Wednesday. Like one day you might be top of the world getting press from the New York Times. The next day your customers are shitting on you because you did something wrong. So that flows for everyone. And so I think that the idea of like setting the right expectations and then finding people who have a high degree of resilience and the ability to adapt, I think is my number one kind of metric or characteristic that I look for really anyone, but also in particular people who are jumping in the beginning, kind of more junior positions. And so that it doesn't need to be, they don't need to have a profound amount of experience. They don't need to have, you know, even like top schools or grades or whatever. That's all fine. It's about, can you be resilient in that moment where something unexpected happens? And I think that's really hard to test for in an interview. So the way we've worked with many of our interns and employees is we've done trial periods. Like, let's try it out. Let's try it out for a few weeks. Ooh. We'll try it out for a few months. See how you handle the pain and the discomfort. And then if you can do it, then they can step into kind of a more official role or more official position. And of course, we pay for the trial periods. They're more like project-based, but there's the understanding that if this doesn't work out in a month, okay, no problem. We'll just move on. We'll move on from there.
I was thinking to ask you, like, I mean, my next question sitting right here is like, what's the biggest issue in startups today? Something we can learn to avoid. But before you answer that, Vlad, you bring up a good point, which is you gotta try it. You know what I mean? It's not trying to start a company, but I've told people a long time ago and not to go down too far of a, what do you call it? Like off the beaten path or whatever. But sure. Like I've told many people, I'm like, I'm here to try shit for the rest of 2022 and I'll see you on the other side. Cause right now it's like, that's what people have to do. And I think as small businesses, even when you're, yeah, I mean, really, it's small business. Like any startup, you're figuring out how to solve problems for people, consumers, audience members, like whatever it might be. And that's a huge point. I'm glad you brought it up. And have you found then, as you're going through trials, what changes about the team dynamic when you guys are going through, like, you know, what I would consider like a trial and tribulation of a business? Mm-hmm. Say you guys, okay, for instance, like podcasting, if Better and Better is going to advertise on podcasts, for example, and if it's like a trial and error and blase blase, like I got to go call Mary and da 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 da. Like there's so many like nuts and bolts to it where what is the team dynamic after a trial has been either successfully executed or poorly executed?
I think it's just the being brutally honest, I think is the core of any trial outcome, because it's so easy to talk yourself into a narrative and then be kind of doing everything in your power to stick with that narrative. So I think the ability to be brutally honest in a way that almost to a fault or where it's like, are we sure this is what happened? Are we sure that this is correct? I've seen so many times where people just convince themselves of something and then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy one way or another, whether it's reality or not. And so I think that honesty is really key, and moving quickly. Like I think a startup you just don't have time. Like if there's even a whiff of kind of a definitive outcome, then we move on. Like we use that as the next step. And I think sometimes that leads to mistakes, but I'd rather make a quick mistake than move really slowly and in an extended way. Because if I make a quick mistake, we can adjust quickly. But if something's extended and protracted, then it becomes too difficult or too even problematic down the road.
I think we've all seen that. And maybe you're a part of a startup listening. Maybe you are the startup. Maybe you're a solopreneur. Sure. You know, I heard the word the other day, and I'll send you this episode later, Vlad, but we had Brian Page on and he came up with this term called passivepreneur. And I'm like, I guess it's a way to make money by yourself passively. Sure. And so anyway, I digress. But the biggest issue you're seeing in startups today, and maybe you saw it in your own, maybe you see it in your colleagues' startup businesses, but what's one big issue you're like, oh my God, if y'all don't get past this and learn from it or learn to avoid it, you're going to fold.
Yeah. I mean, I think it goes back to what we're talking about before. I think the number one reason why I see startups fail, entrepreneurs fail, mm-hmm. is because of personal pain or personal experience. Like it's about the constant pressure and stress and just BS that everyone has to deal with that ends up breaking either oneself or breaking the relationships of multiple founders. Mm-hmm. And I think it's that interpersonal, personal communication, interpersonal and personal acceptance of these feelings, these emotions, these challenges that are coming about that often is the definitive characteristic of whether someone is successful or not. Because a lot of like startup life, entrepreneurship is just about like surviving and being, you know, emotionally capable of taking that, whatever the next step is, over and over again. So I think the biggest challenge is like not being emotionally prepared and not mm-hmm. having the emotional kind of support around oneself to get through whatever the next challenge may be.
It almost seems like boxing, wouldn't you say? It's like that might be a good example. It's like you got to take the jabs and hits and then wipe the sweat off, get back in the ring, keep going.
I call it I think it's juggling and swimming at the same time.
Oh my god.
Yes. So like half of your body is trying to not die, like to not drown, and then the other half is doing this really intricate, complicated juggling routine and maneuver. So it's both survival and extreme kind of level of competence that is required at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's both sides of the brain that are being really, really pushed to the max. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where a lot of like bad outcomes come about, is like, because it's so different, those two things, trying to stay alive, but also trying to be really competent and really smart and really capable.
You bring up this idea of emotional intelligence as a founder, which I think is so important. I think that like, as you're bringing up like all these points where I'm like, oh my God, if you didn't come on this podcast, I don't know if I would have even thought to answer and ask certain questions, because you're just like full of everything we needed. You know, you bring up this point that in order to make these quick decisions, mm-hmm. in order to understand that like, you know, a campaign might not run well, but as soon as you act on it and act fast, then like, sure, it'd be fine, right? Like you're bringing up a lot of great points, I guess is what I'm saying. And in doing so, you start thinking about where that fits into the mold of like the foreseeable future of where you want businesses to go. So for better and better, I now want to pivot and think about, you know, with you, have you, Mary, the co-founders and everyone on the team really thought about where like your lessons had been learned are now adding to, say, like, it's like building Legos. Like, how mm-hmm. is it building for what Better and Better is wanting to become and going to become?
Yeah. So the big vision for Better and Better isn't just a 2-in-1 toothpaste with vitamins mm-hmm. and supplements in it. That's our first product. We make a really, really good toothpaste that gets you your teeth clean, but also gives you a dose of vitamins. Our big vision is to create a portfolio of products that leverage everything we do in our life. So existing habits, existing patterns, to make both ourselves better, so make our health better, and to make the world better in some way. So for instance, toothpaste is a great start because pretty much everyone brushes their teeth. They do it twice a day.
So we hope.
So we hope. It's an existing habit. I think on average it's like two times per day.
Yeah.
And so it's something that even if it's made 5%, 10% better, it changes the world in a way because everyone is doing it all the time. Mm. And so what are some other things that everyone is doing all the time? Whether it's flossing their teeth, whether it's putting up on lip balm, shampooing their hair, mm-hmm. shaving their face, anything that is an existing habit, we believe we can improve in a way that delivers these additional benefits, supplements, vitamins, nutrients, in a way that in maybe 5 or 10 years, mm-hmm. we won't have to take any pills. We won't have to drink any supplements. We won't have to eat any gummies. It'll all just be passively embedded within our lives. And so that's wow. where we're going. It's this kind of passive well-being that can be personalized, but can also be made easy and accessible and affordable in a way that hasn't been possible for most people before Better and Better.
It's amazing. You're going to make our lives better and better.
We're trying.
I'm so glad you came on this podcast. We have one called The Routine Project, and yeah. you have to come on that because you've said habits twice and you've said routines twice. And I'm like, okay, well, score, because I want you on that show so badly. I hate when conversations come to an end, but I have to ask you one more question about what your personal investment of being a founder has felt like and what that's looked like for you. So in a nutshell, what's been the best part of creating businesses, especially like you had said at the beginning of this conversation, that are not only keeping up with the times, but sustaining the times that we go through, like a recession or right now, where people really need to start passively bettering their well-being.
Right.
You know, so like, how has that felt for you? And then what's been the best part of all of it? Because I don't think it's going to stop for you.
I think it's about purpose. Having a purpose in life that is beyond oneself and that is generally positive, like a net positive in the world. I think it's so vital and it's so key. And it's been like, in many ways, it's what keeps me alive because like having that North Star, having that guide, having that place that I'm going makes the journey a lot more fulfilling and makes it a lot more tolerable because, you know, we live in a complex, unpleasant sometimes world, but if you know you're going or you're trying to go somewhere good, it just makes it a lot better.
And you say net positive. That's huge. I just wrote that down. Half of the stuff you've said, I've written down. All of what you've said is now turning into a podcast episode for Founders Week. And I'm very glad we did this together. Vladimir, thank you for everything, for what you've said, your wisdom, your knowledge, your experiences. I'm excited to see what happens with Better and Better, but more importantly, what your fourth business might be, whenever that might be it. So thanks for the time, energy, and everything, my friend.
Thank you for having me. It's been a blast.
Hey friends, Justin again. Well, that was the conversation today, and I hope you took plenty away from it. For those who keep coming back to this podcast, I want to say thank you for always being here and growing with my guests and I over the years. And if you're new to the Men of the Hour show, thank you for being here, and I'd love for you to come back next time by clicking that subscribe button. Oh, and for all of us tuning in right now, I'd love to hear your thoughts on today's episode by leaving a rating and review right where you're listening. Until next week, I'm your host, Justin Crawford. Continue taking care of yourself and inspiring others to do the same.